Today's scripture lesson comes from Galatians, the third chapter, verses 23-29. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to the disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew nor Greek. There is no longer slave nor free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
What you'll notice as we go through, as we've gone through June and actually into July, is that there will be readings both from the letter of Paul to the Galatians, but also from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. And so in that pattern, I turn this morning to Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. And if you'd like to follow along, you will find that scripture. Whether or not you want to follow along, it'll still be in the scripture, but if you'd like to, it's on page 63 of the New Testament of your Pew Bible. And this might clear up the confusion about the pig on the bulletin. So hear these words. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As Jesus stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now, there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these, so he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, this crazy story from the Gospel of Luke is the stuff of Sunday school lessons, the kind of story that kids remember all their lives because it seems so comical to have demons flee from a man and jump into pigs who themselves run down a steep slope only to commit suicide by drowning themselves in the lake. And yet this story from Luke and the section of Paul's letter to the Galatians that Ken read have some important lessons for us about what God has done for us and how we, each of us, should respond. As you let this story sink into your mind, Let me focus your thinking with a few thoughts of my own. Think about the possessed man who for such a long time had lived in the tombs. He had gone around stark naked, and he had broken the chains and the handcuffs when the authorities had tried to restrain him. And then think about the demons or evil spirits that had lived inside that man for so long. Can you imagine the shock of these demons when they recognized Jesus? Because more so than the apostles, demons seem to know immediately that this is the Son of God. And when these demons understood the power of Jesus and what he would do to them. Now, I know that pigs are fairly intelligent creatures. So I wonder if you can imagine the shock of this herd of pigs when the demons jumped ship from this possessed man and moved into the pigs' bodies. And then think about the horrified reaction of the swineherds as they watched their pigs destroy themselves in the lake. All those pork chops and bacon and roasts and their profits literally down the drain. Think about the shock of the people who witnessed this event. They were so afraid that they asked Jesus to leave their hometown. And perhaps most importantly, think about what must have gone through the mind of the man possessed, the man who had been healed. His captive mind was literally set free by the action of Jesus. This Gerasene man was given freedom and new life when Jesus offered him justification through grace. When we turn to the letter from Paul to the church at Galatia, we encounter different language, but I believe the same message. The Jewish people had been imprisoned and guarded under the law, to use Paul's words, until faith would be revealed. Just like the Gerasene man, these brand new Christians of the Galatian church had been set free by Jesus. The law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew nor Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. This absolute transformation brought about by Jesus Christ is known as justification. And it's an important concept in United Methodist theology. But perhaps most importantly, justification is the promise of liberation for every single one of us. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, wrote and preached often about how God gave us grace in its several forms. Wesley spent a lot of time describing God's justifying grace. By this term, Wesley meant that God gives us the unbidden gift of faith, and this allows us to be justified in Christ. Through God's own initiative, we are turned toward God. God moves us in a new direction. We are shown the error of our own sin. Through justification, our eyes are opened both to the realities of God's grace, but also to the realities of the vast gulf between our present situation and the final fulfillment of the kingdom of God. This idea of justification might still be confusing to you. Well, if that's the case, think about the dictionary definition of justification. To justify something means to administer justice, to judge, to regard, or treat as righteous and therefore worthy of salvation. This is what God does in our lives. God believes that every single one of us deserves justice, and that every one of us is righteous and worthy of salvation. Well, in a more mundane example, when you type something on paper, to justify means to space the lines of text so that the lines come out even at the margin. You might recognize the icons on your computer, right justify or left justify. Well, this is also what God does in our lives. God lines us up so that we start from the right place, so that we begin the story of our lives from the secure margin of faith. When the Gerasene man was possessed by the demons, he was completely focused on himself, completely self-focused. All he could think about was the oppressive mental state. He was obsessed by his demons. But when Jesus came to him, Jesus released him from the demon possession and justified him. Jesus found the man righteous and worthy of salvation. So that this gift of faith from Jesus allowed this man to transform his life, to shift his focus from his own predicament, to concentrate instead on following Jesus and on proclaiming the coming kingdom of God. As Jesus instructed this man, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. Well, I believe that this is exactly what Jesus is offering to each of us through his gift of faith. If we accept Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives, if we truly turn over to God the control and destiny of our lives, we can be justified through faith. God will turn our lives around, transform us into people who see God's love and God's grace in everything and everyone around us. God will pull all of our personal demons from us, and hopefully no pigs will be involved. God will open our eyes to our sinful nature, and then God will forgive our sins fully and completely. God will also open our eyes to the plight of the world's people, to the horrible degradation of our planet, to the heavy toll of poverty and famine and war, the inhuman treatment of men and women against each other. In short, God will show us very graphically how we have fallen short of God's vision for the kingdom of God. But rather than this being a depressing and pessimistic view, this will be instead God's justification, and it will allow us to be energized by this sobering understanding. Through the shock of justification, we can shift our focus from our self-absorbed lives and become a people of God, the combined body of Christ. We can look outward and accept our collective role as missionary people. We are first and foremost people who have been sent out by God under the direction of Jesus Christ and the influence of the Holy Spirit to make disciples of Christ and to share God's love and the vision of God's kingdom here on earth. Because we have been justified by Christ's death and resurrection, all of us here today have been liberated to accept our true calling. We are freed to be people of God who will joyfully and boldly see what needs to be done in our neighborhood, our country, and throughout the world. And then, as the body of Christ, we can joyfully and boldly do everything within our power to right the wrongs and to fix what's broken. Maybe we can't change the world, but we can certainly make a difference. Every one of us using our individual God-given gifts. Remember what the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. As shocking as it is, you have been justified as children of God through faith in Jesus. Accept your call and take action. Amen.